Our book club pick today couldn't be more appropriate as we head towards elections. It's a book called Revolutionary's House, and it is the tale of a former politician who is grappling with both his political and moral conscience. The author, Ntikeng Mohlele, is a novelist, playwright and short story writer whose previous work has won a string of awards, including notably the K. Selodeker Memorial Award, which is given to writers under the age of 40. It's also been longlisted for the International Dublin Literary Award. He is published by Jacana, and it is my great pleasure to have him with us on the line to talk about the new novel, Revolutionary's House. Ntikeng Mohlele, welcome to Cape Talk.
Thank you, Pipa. Thank you.
And if I may begin with a quote from the book, because I think it's going to speak straight to the heart of one of the key themes here. This is a politician addressing his former comrades. "I am sick to my bone marrow, comrades, with the filth that has besieged our movement. I hope we effing lose the next elections because you have become unthinking and unfeeling zealots, the lot of you. Why should power, such a precious commodity, come at such a cost, be entrusted to you?" And to King, this might be a work of fiction, but there is no disguising the fact that Revolutionary's House could well be Shell House, and that there is a very loud critique in this book of the actual politicians who have turned their backs on the people they claim to be fighting for. I'm interested to know, did you intentionally time it to be released in this election year, or is it just coincidental that the timeline worked out that way?
No, far from it. And I don't see it primarily as a political book per se. Mm-hmm. I see it as a love story and a study of human conscience and agency. Politics becomes just one of the backdrops of the story, with me not being a political animal in any way, shape or form. But I mean, I think as writers, we've got a responsibility to reflect the, you know, different phases and evolution of a society like our own, you know. So one can't really write anything of value in my submission that actually skirts around, you know, social-political and economic tensions that arise in any society around the world, for that matter, from time to time.
So the story of a man and his love story, his individual consciousness, and his grappling with himself really being, in your mind, the key theme within a political setting. So I hear you, because one of the things I was going to ask is whether you believe fiction writers are doing enough to write into this space and to challenge the situation around us. We know, not short of writers publishing non-fiction works exposing graft and government failures, but from what you've said, is it your view that even those writing in the fiction space should be doing more of that?
Without being prescriptive, I think each artist is got a certain orientation to matters and thematic focus areas that they are drawn to or that they gravitate towards. But my view is that it's not only really limited to literature. You would find accents of that in the multiplicity of artistic disciplines. Mm-hmm. For one, you'd get it in music, for instance.
Yeah.
You'd get it in visual arts, and you'd get it in theatre, in performance arts. So I don't see literature as isolated from other art forms. I see it as complementary to, you know, artistic, you know, projection of both the beautiful and the challenging in any given time during a societal epoch, so to speak.
Let's talk a little bit more about your central voice in this book. Revolutionary's House is told from the viewpoint of a man whose real name we only find sort of in glancing reference towards the end of the book. Most of the book, we know him as Mr. Winston, which is a name that's been borrowed from one of the fellow creatures living with him on the streets. He is a man who was once a highly placed political figure, perhaps even aspiring to the presidency. But when we meet him, he is literally living under a bridge in downtown Johannesburg. And he assures us up front he is morally righteous, and he has been strong enough to protest the decay in the revolution that he fought for, but that it has cost him dearly. Ntikeng, talk to us a little bit more about this, particularly this decision to almost deprive him of his own name throughout the book, and about what you hope Mr. Winston represents to the reader.
Mr. Winston represents for me duplicity And you know, where there is no like clear cut lines in terms of identification and expression of human lives, that human lives for me, from an artistic point of view, they thrive on contradictions and omissions and inadequacies. So I wanted to write a character that actually dipped on both ends of being morally courageous but being extremely flawed in the same time.
And among the flaws, I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but among the flaws are the flaws in the way in which he has treated the various women in his life. And each chapter of this book is named after one of the women who had a significant impact on him, particularly his relationship with his wife, or former wife by the time we meet him, Naomi, is one which, as it's unraveled, is clearly one in which there was deep love to begin with in both directions into King, and love which she attempted to sustain even after he had fallen from grace, as it were. Tell us a little bit more about creating the character of Naomi.
I loved Naomi for the simple reason that there are people that are wonderful creatures of creation in the world, but they just for some reason keep getting a raw deal for things that they don't deserve. And for me, the importance was most importantly to be able to actually orchestrate a character that would be critical to driving the narrative, but also point out the grand theme of fate, that it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't matter what the person does or does not do. The actual accumulation and the sum total of what their life depends, you'd find it unfairly so that it's triggered by the decisions and sort of whims of other people, unfortunately.
And she is such a lovable character, the way she fights for him and tries to help him even when he has fallen and treated her terribly. And, you know, I don't think it's giving away too much of a spoiler to say that she writes letters to him, letters which he rejects at the beginning, and then when he finally is receptive to reading them, cannot access. And I'll say no more than that. She really, really tries to keep the connection between them. And in so doing, she's the one person who really still sees him as fully human, isn't she? And to King, I mean, from the very beginning of this book, Mr. Winston makes the comment that I have neither a name nor a vocation, so I am considered less than human by most of the people I interact with. I mean, I don't know how much access, if any, you had to people who are living on the streets of downtown Joburg. Did you, as a matter of interest, spend any time and speak to them about that sort of the stripping away of humanity in the eyes of others?
Yes, indeed. When I was at university, I stayed in Linksfield. So yeah. I traveled by taxi to Wits University, and to move from Durandfontein taxi rank to Brandfontein, one, even during winters, it's something that one would witness firsthand, you know. Yeah. And then creatively, the mind is like, has got muscle memory of its own. So it wasn't quite difficult to get just the texture of the mood in terms of thematic choice and treatment.
Yeah. I just want to say, for the sake of anybody who might have come in late to the conversation, that our guest joining us for book club today is author Ndikeng Mohlele. His latest novel, Revolutionary's House, has been published by Jacana. And as Ndikeng has said, it's the story of a very flawed man who is the key narrator of the piece. And on the one hand, somebody who has had the moral courage to stand up and confront his political colleagues to say, what you have become is nothing like what we set out to be. But on the other hand, in his personal life, somebody who has had such a flawed journey. Now, I know you said it's not a political book. It's a book about the human condition and about the human heart. But reading in the context of a country heading to the elections in just a few weeks' time, Ndikeng, there is a lot that I think a lot of people are going to nod at and share a sense of, you know, righteous outrage at in what Mr. Winston has to say about his former colleagues and about the state of the nation that he lives in. You had use a wonderful analogy of life as a bucket. That's going to sound awful saying it out like that. I'm going to ask you to sort of elaborate a little bit for us, because you use this description towards the end of the book of people, the hungry, the sick, the betrayed, citizens to whom promises have been made for decades and not kept, and how they have a tendency to lose patience and rebel and smash windows and set fire to things. And you describe them as being like leaking buckets, losing their life force and their purpose one drop at a time. That sense of hopelessness and of fighting and fighting and fighting to have a better life and just being rebuffed at every turn is something that I think many South Africans unfortunately are going to relate to. And to King, it's a very dark metaphor right at the end of the book, and yet I've seen in previous interviews with you that you regard this as a book that ends on a hopeful note. What message do you want a reader to take away from it in terms of hope for the future?
I think it's just to be hypersensitive and conscious that, you know, some challenges that we have in society, particularly in South Africa, are not isolated from human conditions elsewhere in the world. If you looked at our country and looked at the Israel-Gaza conflict now, comparatively, that should answer you in terms of where my head space is, in terms of the Republic. So I don't think, I've never believed in knee-jerk reactions or in over-dramatizing something, because to do that would be to negate the fact that they are very hard-working people with very strong moral centers and spine that are from the highest office to maybe the most humble home in some rural setting that are genuinely decent and respectable people. Mm-hmm. So I think the greater responsibility for the artist is to, in flagging things that might be gravitating towards the negative, not to forget to counterbalance that actually we're very fortunate to be in a country like South Africa. And as a patriot, I think that the greater responsibility is to be able to understand the nuances of the different tensions that happen between people that are noble citizens and those that gravitate more towards their, you know, from negative sentiments, including putting holes in buckets, as the metaphor says.
Yeah. Genuinely respectable, noble citizens. My final question to you is around the likelihood of people starting from that position staying that way. This is a book that speaks a lot to the issue of power and what power can do to people, or how power can change people when it gets into the wrong hands, or sometimes into the right hands that just don't have enough of the moral grounding to hold on to it. Is it your belief that the old metaphor that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or do you think it requires some degree of flaw in the human before the power is handed to them?
I think human beings are imperfect beings. And one of the things that I loved most about the Republic of South Africa is the integrity of the institutions that despite challenges in terms of people not making necessarily intelligent or morally defensible choices, for some admirable reason, I think that the institutions of the Republic have held a great deal. And you just need to look at where there is turmoil and strife elsewhere in the world to actually appreciate the Republic and where we headed. And I think that if we are sensitized to making sure that there is equitable growth in all sectors of life, then it becomes a different country, in my view. But I think that being overly negative about it is not healthy for an artistic spirit.
De King, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I'm sure you must be very busy with book tours and the like interviewing on this book. I'm just interested to know what the next project is going to be. Have you already started on a new novel or perhaps a new short story collection?
I am trying to rest. That book drained every bone marrow from me because It was quite daunting to take on a project of that scale, especially because it is also, you know, women character led. So trying to get to write four strong, distinct women characters proved to be quite almost suicidal mission, but I hope that it holds.
I would say definitely that it has. Ntikeng, great to have you on the show with us today. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on Revolutionary's House. It is a pleasure to chat to you.
Thank you, Pipa. Thank you.
All the best to you. Ntikeng Mohlele, the author of Revolutionary's House, which is published by Jacana and available in stores now at 240 Rand a copy. It is incredibly insightful into the sort of, as you said, the moral condition as much as the political condition. But I think a lot of listeners are going to see a lot of the politics in it and share the sense of outrage at politicians who have set aside the mission in favour of the fruits that it has given them. There are some absolutely scathing descriptions of the downfall of some of those who claim to be fighting on behalf of the people, which I think a lot of readers will recognise and perhaps even be looking for real-life correlations in. Once again, it's published by Jacana Media, and you should be able to find it in all good bookstores now. The quality of the writing is exceptional. It is just, he has the most beautiful turn of phrase and way with words besides the content of the book. It's one of those books where you read a section and then stop and want to go back and read it again to enjoy the quality of the writing just as much as the content of the writing. Revolutionary's House by Ntikeng Mohlele.